I'm not given to tricky sermon titles that sort of have a gotcha at the end. So this sermon's obviously about what comes out of John. But there's a couple of parts of the first John reading that I want us to just remind ourselves, because that's the backdrop against which everything Jesus talks about and what we're going to talk about in just a moment. And it's 1 John chapter 4, the first part of verse 10, that in this translation says, "This is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us." And then verse 19, "We love because he first loved us." So let's keep that in mind, that everything that we're talking about, everything that relates to God, is all about love. So we're going to be looking at the vine and the branches. The sermon title is hardly imaginative, "The True Vine," but at least it lets us know where we're going in some way, at least. This is one of the I Am passages in John, of which there are several, where Jesus talks about what he is, using various symbols, metaphors, ways to help us understand things a little bit better. In this case, he says, "I am the true vine." As I was mentioning to the folks in Knox, when I was younger, I tended to zero in on what I think is the wrong part of this whole story. And I zeroed in on things like, oh, getting pruned and being thrown away and withering and getting picked up and thrown into the fire and burned. I'm not saying they're not there. Of course, they are there. But I don't think Jesus is telling us this story to remind us that, some branches don't do anything, and if a branch is useless, well, then away it goes. Rather, I think Jesus is using another image to help us understand our connection to God through Jesus. So we're going to focus on the vine, not on the other bits. And one of the best things about being a branch on a vine is that it's the vine's responsibility on how fruitful we are. And to push the image a little bit further, it's also the gardener's. Because branches don't prune themselves, and branches don't provide sufficient nourishment in and of themselves to survive on their own. A branch has to be attached to the vine, or nothing is going to happen. Vines are interesting. I don't know a whole lot about vines. As I've mentioned before, I grew up in a home where my mother could grow just about anything, but we didn't have vines a whole lot. I've never really worked with them, but I've seen them in movies and on television and that sort of thing. And one of the things that's so interesting about a vine is that someone can walk along a vine for what seems like forever, and you find out that it's all one plant. I grew up with plants that do what they're supposed to. You stick them in the ground, they come up, and something grows on them that you want, and you take it off, and you're fine. There it is. You can see it all. Closest I ever got to a vine, I think, or grapes or anything like that, were a particular kind of tomato that my mother grew called a Sweet 100 that produces clusters of tomatoes. They're very pretty, and they taste very nice, but they're a tomato plant with things on them. They don't go off there somewhere. But that's what vines do. Vines go for a very long time. And sometimes it's hard for us to tell who's attached to which part of the vine or which branch goes with what. And in some ways I like that image in particular for the image of the church, because, I mean, we can see our branches and we can tell that we're all connected to the vine, but there are other people who are connected as well. And they're so far away from us that we find it hard to believe that they're part of the same plant, and yet they are. Jesus says he's the true vine. Everyone who is connected with God through Jesus is part of the same vine. It's an immense vine. And it's doing wonderful things all over the world. And when we're part of this vine, we want to be fruitful. And we want to be fruitful because that's what we're made to be. If we, once again, want to stay within the image, a grapevine produces grapes. That's its purpose. It doesn't have any other real reason. I mean, they're pretty enough, but the purpose of planting a grape seed, I guess you grow them from a seed, is to grow a grape vine and then to get grapes from it. And we want fruitfulness, and branches should be fruitful. And what always messed me up was I just thought, well, what if I'm not fruitful enough? I'm just going to be cut off and wither and be thrown into that fire that I was so worried about. Proving once again that I don't know a whole lot about plants. Gardeners don't prune off branches that are going to produce something that they want. Gardeners prune off things that get in the way of the plant being fruitful. And in this case, a vine grower, a gardener, whatever they have a special name, I don't know what it is, they prune things from the individual branches so each branch can be fruitful. We don't like the idea of being pruned very much, I don't think. And I can see why. It makes sense why we, you know, why would you want to have somebody come and cut off some part of you that you especially value? Proving once again that we don't understand pruning. Pruning is not about cutting off things of value. Pruning is about cutting off things that get in the way of things of value. God is never going to come to us and prune away our gift of encouragement. He's never going to come and prune away the joy in the Lord that we might have. Pruning is things like that bad attitude that we have about a particular kind of person, or maybe even a particular person. God comes and prunes away our insistence on doing things our own way, even when it doesn't make sense. Because when we let God prune these things away, and this is where the image, as all images and all analogies break down at some point, we do have some input into what gets pruned. We can talk to God about those things that are driving us most crazy, and would he please prune those off first? Because we want to be fruitful. It's within us to want to be fruitful in whatever it is we do. We want to be successful. We want to make a difference. We want to affect people, whether that's in the explicit ministries of the church or in our day-to-day lives, whatever it is, in our jobs and in our relationships. We want to be one of those branches that has lots of grapes. And there's nothing wrong with that. But sometimes we get hung up on the lots part, and we lose sight of being fruitful. Because our perspective is too close for us to be able to really evaluate fruitfulness. We can evaluate lots because we can count them. And to further misshape this image, we can say, I've got 11 grapes and that other person's only got 9. But that person over there has got 47, so I guess I'm not very fruitful. Number of grapes is not the issue. Fruitfulness is the issue. And if the gardener sees that a particular branch has been attacked by a bird and has been pecked a lot and needs a bit of pruning and needs a bit of tender, loving care to come back to fruitfulness, and in that first season produces 2 grapes, that's a fruitful branch because it's producing the fruit that it's created to produce. And maybe that branch in the past produced hundreds and hundreds of grapes. And maybe in the future it'll produce hundreds and hundreds of grapes. But the point is that the branch is fruitful the whole way along. And we don't decide whether we're fruitful or not. It's God who decides that. Because we can't count our grapes. The things that we do for God that are counted as faithfulness, that turn into fruitfulness, are very hard to count. Because they're change lives, and that includes our own life. When we listen carefully to God reminding us of things that we need to change and that we want to change in our lives, and we begin to make those changes, that's part of being fruitful. It's not just out there. It's also in here. And when we do that, we're being fruitful. There may have been times in our lives when we were more obviously fruitful. And the example that instantly springs to mind is young couples in the church who tend to be quite involved, often do lots of things. They volunteer in many different directions, and why not? They should. They're young, they've got lots of energy, they don't have a lot of other responsibilities, so they do lots of things. And I've known young couples who volunteer at the church 4 or 5 days, nights a week, whatever it might be. They're there lots. And then they have a baby. Babies are wonderful. Babies are a gift from God, period. End of story. That's all there is. They are a gift. They're terrific. But they do take some time. And if they're your baby, they take a lot of time. Best piece of advice we ever got about twins was from somebody who had had both twins and non-twin babies and said, well, one baby takes up all your time, so what more can two do? And that's sort of how it comes down to it. And so these young people who have been heavily involved in the church suddenly are not heavily involved in the church because they're spending time with their baby like they're supposed to. They're getting to know this baby. The baby is now the primary responsibility that they have. And that changes what they do. And sometimes they feel bad that they can't be at the church working with youth or cleaning it or whatever it might be, 3 or 4 or 5 nights a week. For some of them, just coming to church is enough of a challenge, and that's all they can manage. And sometimes they feel bad about that. And that's when we need to come alongside people like that or in any similar situation and say, no, no, this is just a different stage of life. It's a different season. And you are doing exactly what you should be doing. There's nothing more important than you raising that child well. We'll be okay, because that's how the church works. Do they suddenly become less fruitful because they're not at the church as often? Or because they don't volunteer in the community as often? No. Because fruitfulness is not measured by the amount of hours you put in. It's not measured by the number of people you talk to or the things you do. Fruitfulness is God's measure of you doing what he has asked you to do at this moment. It's God's measure of how you are working alongside him to become the person you were created to be so that you might do what you were created to do. That's fruitfulness. And sometimes it means getting up in the morning, feeding your baby, and sleeping every time they fall asleep. When you're recovering from an extended illness, you've been out of commission for weeks and weeks for whatever reason, your single most significant responsibility is to ease yourself back in so you don't have a relapse. That just makes sense. We don't do it all the time, and it's something I struggle with. I've always had a bit of an adversarial relationship with my body when it doesn't do exactly what I want it to. I'm growing past that. I'm learning that God gave me this one. He didn't give me the one I had when I was 20. I've got a different one now, and I need to take care of it in a different way. I've changed what I do. I pace myself better. Am I suddenly being less fruitful? I honestly don't think so. And I don't think so because of passages like this that are based on what we read again in 1 John, that God loves us. That all of this comes from God's love. The pruning comes from God's love for us. His assessment of our fruitfulness is made from the perspective of his love for us. Jesus is the true vine, and we are connected with him, and through him we are connected with God. The Holy Spirit makes all of this happen in a way that's both mysterious and wonderful. And if we can step away from any strange ideas of our ability to assess fruitfulness, if we can step away from the idea that the gardener is somehow interested in cutting off the good parts of us that we like, we will find in this story one of tremendous comfort and encouragement both. Because a vine doesn't produce just one branch. A vine produces many branches. And when the gardener comes and looks at the fruitfulness of the vine overall, we're all part of that. The year my twins came home and I produced a single grape, went into the harvest. Those years when I was single and lived in residence and didn't even have to cook for myself and had a neat roommate so I barely had to clean and I could be involved in churches and volunteer things and who knows how many grapes I produced those years, but they all went into the harvest. The grapes that we produce, the fruitfulness that we enjoy, is what God enables us to do. We're members of the true vine. We're attached to God through Jesus that we might be fruitful and do what he has asked us to do. And he's never asked us to decide when we are being fruitful. Our connection to the vine provides everything that we need. A gardener who loves us enough to prune off the parts that get in the way of what we really do want to do and gets in the way of who we want to become. It means that being a branch on this vine is the best thing we could ask for. And as we go from this place, this day and every day, let's go remembering that we are fruitful, that we're attached to the true vine, and we don't have to count any of it. Amen.